Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani again. That's right.
Hello.
Chris is back. Part two of our season preview show. And it is brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. This is the place where, hey, you guys know it. This is where I got my Honda, my great Honda CRV. It's been a couple months now. Love it. I traveled 90 miles to get to State College because that was the best deal, the best buying experience. It was a fantastic experience for me. It could be that way for you, too, if you're looking for a new Honda. That is Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Showroom is located on West College Avenue. Or check them out online at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Chris, thanks for coming back. We can do part two of our preview of the team for this season. In part one, we talked about where James Franklin was going into this season. We, of course, talked about the offense, which means we talked about the wide receivers. I got a crazy idea for this show. How about we talk about some of the defense, Chris?
Yeah, please. Let's do it.
All right. It starts with Tom Allen. You and I think, are both pretty happy with Tom Allen coming here. I had some listeners question me on this a little bit because I am such a Manny Diaz fanboy. Okay. Sure. I really am. But I was pretty happy with Tom Allen coming in to start with. And the more I even think about it, the more I'm more than just okay with Tom Allen. I think he's a great addition to the coaching staff. Chris, his head coaching experience, here in the Big Ten, the fact that he coached against James Franklin, which gave James Franklin a great way to scout Tom Allen. He has had to play him every year, so he knows what Tom Allen is all about.
And also, by the way, to understand how someone who has to go up against him with decidedly inferior talent scouts Penn State.
Yes. That's all part of it, Chris. I think this is absolutely a home run hire.
I agree. You know, I was advocating for Tom as soon as Manny announced he was taking the Duke job because of everything you just said. And just in general, my belief that I think James really benefits from having someone, at least one of his coordinators, be a person who understands all the demands of a job of a head coach, not just so that they can function as the head coach of their side of the ball, but also so they can kind of support and inform James throughout the week and on game day as well. You know, I have a long track record of dissatisfaction with clock management under James Franklin, and I think it has improved noticeably over the last few seasons. And I like having a voice on the headset who has been charged with making those kind of decisions in high leverage situations like Tom Allen did for many years at Indiana as a head coach. So yeah, I think it's great. The concern, I think partially, was how is someone who is temperamentally so different from Manny Diaz going to mesh with this defense? And as I mentioned on the last show, I think you can tell that the defenders still have a lot of respect for Manny Diaz, but they seem to really appreciate the hands-on attention to detail of Tom Allen, his own unique brand of intensity. And you hear all the players mentioning again and again that one of the first things he did when he got to Penn State was schedule a one-on-one meeting so he could learn about them as people. And you see the fruits of that now throughout the spring and the summer, that he brings those things up that he learned in those meetings. He seems to be really personally invested in his players in a way that you can't fake. And they appear to be, from my point of view, responding to that just authenticity that he has. So I think that has helped smooth the transition from very different kind of age, personality, style of Manny Diaz to Tom Allen. I think that's a positive because, as we talked about, even though you lost a ton of talent to the NFL, you return a lot of talent. I think Penn State has done very, very well with calculated additions via the transfer portal, not just this offseason, but maybe some moves from last year that will bear fruit in 2024. In general, I feel like, yeah, maybe there'll be a little bit of a drop-off, but not an appreciable one from last season to this one.
And any drop-off, I don't think, is going to be about Tom Allen. And they lost a lot of talent, and we'll get into that a little bit. But I don't – and I think also – and this, again, is from the biggest Manny Diaz fanboy that probably is out there, where there is also some advantages to having a Tom Allen take over for Manny Diaz, in that Manny Diaz, I don't want to say he exhausted all his ideas, but his ideas are in place, okay? And they could keep using those things. But what you have now is someone new coming in. It's kind of like I often compare in private industry, in that companies can get stagnant with the same employees and not bringing it. Having someone new can change things up a bit, and you don't have groupthink. You have someone who could come in from outside and present some new ideas and put those on the floor, Chris.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I'm thinking back to a conversation I had with Mike the Mailman last week. Mike and I were talking about the defense, and he said, you know, the one thing I would like to see improved for sure this year is it felt like Penn State was unusually vulnerable in third and long situations. And so we started talking about that. And, you know, again, I didn't go back and look at numbers. That might just be a perception. But I do remember always having this feeling in the pit of my stomach when we would get into third and long. And I think maybe some of that is the blitz happy nature of Manny Diaz putting in these feast or famine situations in third and long. Maybe it may just be, especially with the complementary relationship between what we think will be a pretty potent pass rush and what I think will be a very deep, very good secondary, potentially better on the field than last year's, which was a great group that maybe underperformed at a few spots. Maybe you don't need to bring as much heat all the time, whether it's you just got predictable or you had the right call and just didn't get home often enough. I think a change of style might not be the worst thing in the world. I also do like the fact that, again, going back to both of these marquee coordinator hires in Kotelniki and Tom Allen, had to find ways schematically to make up for a pretty significant talent gap most of the time. Like, you were not recruiting the best of the best to Buffalo or Kansas or to Indiana football. And so Tom is great at creatively using the talent at his disposal and moving guys around and doing creative things in terms of how you deploy personnel. And given the number of talented defensive backs we have, and given, you know, maybe some questionable depth at linebacker, I think his strengths mesh well with the needs of this year's roster in particular.
I agree on a lot of what you said. I'll even start with agreeing with Mike the Mailman about that feeling that on third and long that they were vulnerable. And again, this is me just like you, not looking at any of the numbers, but I think it was better with Manny Diaz than it was previously. I remember a few years ago joking, you know, it's third and 18. The offense has Penn State's defense right where they want them.
Yeah, okay. Right.
It seemed like it happened on a regular basis. The feeling from last year, I think, was just in those big games, the Michigan and Ohio State games. And that's a lasting impression when you see that happen, even to the point where I think Michigan, they almost looked at it like, okay, it's third and long. We know what's coming from Penn State at this point. And they actually ran the ball, or the quarterback, even if it wasn't a planned run, he scrambled and looked to get outside and turned it into a first down a few times, where it felt like Michigan saw a vulnerability there with Penn State's defense on third and long.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, you bring Johnny Dixon on a blitz, one outcome is fantastic. The other one is not so good if it leaves an area of the field vulnerable and it doesn't get home.
Yes, I had Russ Tucker used to tell me, every fan wants to see more blitzing until it goes wrong.
Right, right.
And I do think that's the case. The other, you know, conversation pieces when talking about the defense is got the big move of positions. Abdul Carter from linebacker to defensive end. I know it's we're all contractually obligated to talk about that when we're talking about the defense, Chris, sure. But I wanted to get your take. Good move, bad move, still dependent on how they use them. What do you think when they talked about, well, he's not always going to line up at defensive end anyway.
Yeah, well, rushing the quarterback off the edge has become more and more critical, and as the traditional linebacker role has become less important. And for proof of that, you need only look at draft position and salary in the NFL, right? So Abdul, if nothing else, has helped out his financial future by establishing himself as more of a down edge rusher. But I do think just in terms of how versatile he's going to be, I just talked about Tom Allen moving different pieces around on the chessboard. I think not having Jamil Lyons is going to probably impact how much they can move Abdul Carter around, because I think we talked about last week, Jim, when we went through our list of important players, I think Amin Vanover needs to be a really critical piece of that defensive end rotation. But still, we had very high hopes for Lyons and what he could do this year in terms of taking the leap as a potentially a future NFL quality player. You take that out of the rotation, I think it's going to make it all the more important that you keep Abdul Carter on the field to go after the other team's quarterback. So I expect him to play primarily at defensive end this year.
I think so too. And where that might come into play is we've seen it before where they'll play three defensive ends in a passing situation. Might that get affected by it?
Sure.
We'll have to wait and see. Remember, with Manny Diaz, it didn't matter. Seven guys were up against the line of scrimmage, and that's what we would see from him. All right, Chris, that's it for quarter number one of our show. You know what? I'm not done talking about the defense, though. We got lots more to talk about there. We'll get to it right after the break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Make your party planning easy for any special event or tailgate with Campus Steaks Catering. We deliver to your office, home, or wherever you host your next party. Or be the talk of the tailgate with something new. Just stop by before the game at our 119 South Pew Street location, and your order will be hot and ready. For the best cheesesteak in State College, it's Campus Steaks. Give us a call at 814-954-7447.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galante. We're doing our two-part Penn State football preview. And Chris, in part one, we talked a lot of overview. We talked about Penn State offense. Now we're talking Penn State defense. Tom Allen, the new offensive coordinator. The other talking point that goes on is now this 4-2, where you take a linebacker off the field, put a fifth safety in, and that would be the base defense. Now, we know down in distance is going to change that affect it, but as a base defense, we're going to see two linebackers, five safeties. My question is, does this really matter? I mean, are you just saying, okay, we're probably going to have a quicker guy there than we did previously, but that third linebacker or fifth safety probably do similar things. They both have – you know, run defense responsibilities. They have coverage responsibilities. And yeah, they have blitzing responsibilities. So whether it's you call that guy a linebacker, you call him the lion, or you call him a safety, a lot of the same responsibilities, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I talked about how, you know, the traditional linebacker role that I just love so much, that we have done so well at Penn State for so long, is starting to go the way of the dodo, even though we've got two guys who are both team captains, by the way, in Dom DeLuca and Kobe King, who I think could have played linebacker for Joe Paterno in the 60s and 70s. So it's not like that's completely gone away. But, yeah, the nature of defense and the nature of how you play the positions on the field is changing. I think Jalen Reed is the perfect candidate for that type of hybrid role, just in terms of the way he's built and the way he plays. I love Zaki Wheatley. You and I both love KJ Winston. That guy, I think, is the top returning tackler for the Nittany Lions this season. And so, yeah, when I look at what I think is the really intriguing depth in the secondary, not just at safety, but at corner as well, I think, again, Tom Allen is the guy to look at that collection of talent and figure out how to deploy it. And the good news for us is that we will go up against Brett Bielema in Illinois, who like to play that kind of old style smash mouth football that the Big Ten was known for so long. We avoid having to go against the team that has done it better than anyone in the country, let alone the conference in Michigan this year. So that's fortunate that we don't find ourselves, because of the way the schedule shakes out, going up against too many teams that could maybe take advantage of that by just, you know, God forbid, putting 9 offensive linemen on the field and some of the nonsense Bielema did to us a few years ago. I'm looking forward to that. And I think we absolutely have the horses to do it and do it well.
Well, that's the other part of this equation, Chris, is, you know, they're not playing Michigan, as you pointed out, but they are playing Illinois, and we all know what Illinois did to this team a couple years ago with exactly that. Was it, you know, like 9 offensive line, and like you mentioned, or at least it felt that way. That doesn't mean you have to play 5 safeties when you're playing Illinois.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't mean to scare people by raising the specter of that terrible 2021 game, because, you know, again, talent-wise, I think Penn State is much deeper on the defensive line than we were in 2021. And if we need to put more old school style Penn State linebackers on the field, if we need to roll out Tyler Elsden and Tamir Robinson, we can do it. So I don't expect this to be a team that is in a position of being able to get pushed around by the likes of Illinois as we were a few years ago. But what I'm saying is I just don't expect the Nittany Lions to have to find themselves in that position very often because of the nature of the schedule.
And I think, yes, and the nature.
No
of the
Iowa, college, no Michigan.
Yes. And the nature of the college football game is get more speed on the field, cover, you know, on offense, you're looking to stretch the field vertically and horizontally, get a little more speed, a couple
no
more
Rutgers,
coverage people.
By the way, I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Basically every team that wants to play old style caveman ball and just run it down your throat, Penn State by and large is avoiding them this season. So yeah, I'm happy we're not going to have to deal with Kyle Manungai.
And I'll tell you what, I hadn't thought about that with the schedule. You're right. And it's a much different Wisconsin team than you would have played a few years ago also.
100%. Yes. I think they might look a little bit more, maybe if by nothing else than necessity, like a kind of Barry Alvarez tree Wisconsin team. But yeah, it's not going to be like you remember. Honestly, Jim, one of the most intimidating run threat teams we're going to play is the one we're going to see in week 1 in Morgantown. The only team in the country, I know we're not previewing West Virginia, but only team in the country that's returning 3 guys with 750 or more yards rushing.
That's a good point. And, you know, that is probably, you're right, that's probably the one game where we could see that smash mouth, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And if you're West Virginia, you want to keep the ball out of the hands of Penn State too. You want to have, you know, 20 play drives if possible.
But I guess the point is, if the base defense is four down linemen with Kobe King and Tony Rojas at linebacker and Jalen Reed on the field as sort of a hybrid star type position. I feel very good about that lineup matching up against West Virginia. And if they are the team that's going to look to, in terms of not just offensive approach, but the talent to back it up, try to grind the game out against Penn State, I feel good about that matchup.
Let's talk about some of the other positions that seem to get forgotten. And I think defensive tackle gets taken for granted, Chris, and they're all back. They're all veterans. They did a pretty good job last year, and they're all returning.
They did. Defensive tackle has been a pain point for Penn State for quite a while. And listen, it's a pain point for most teams in the country because, as my co-host Brandon Noble himself, a former all-conference defensive tackle at Penn State, likes to point out, there are really only three to five what he likes to call creatures in every recruiting class on the defensive line. And those interior linemen are all going to the same four or five programs. So the number of difference-making defensive tackles in any given recruiting class is very low. So that means most teams are not going to have a guy who can change a game from the inside. And at Penn State, under Larry Johnson, through the first half of the first decade plus of the 21st century, we were very fortunate to have a succession of interior guys who could wreak havoc in the Big Ten and then go on to do the same on Sundays. And we haven't really had that. I think as a result, maybe last year's defensive tackle group did not get quite the credit they deserved for being pretty solid. I know you don't love that word, but it's a compliment to me. Pretty solid. You could rely on them. They were not a liability. And there are just some places on the team where if you're not going to bring in a game wrecker, sort of like I joked about Justin Lustig, the special teams coordinator on the last show, it's like he's doing his job if we don't know his name. I think with these defensive tackles, if we don't know their names because they're not screwing anything up, that's maybe all we need. And so anything they can bring in terms of run stuffing or even pressuring the quarterback, that's all found money.
I'm with you. I think that solid is the minimum that I expect from that group. They're doing it a different way. They don't have that one stud in the middle who's just unstoppable. You know, the guys you see at Georgia every year.
Right.
But they've got four guys that they could put out there, rotate in, stay fresh, beat up on the interior offensive line they're up against. And there is still some, you know, potential upside with a guy like, say, Zane Durant.
Yes, for sure. Zane Durant has not hit his ceiling. We're confident of that. Whether or not he can get there is an open question. I'm going to use this opportunity to once again praise Deion Barnes. Last show, I talked about I've been so impressed with both recruiting and talent development of Phil Troutwine. I can say the same thing about Deion Barnes, who I think we all have an extra special spot in our hearts for because he's a Penn State guy, stuck with the Nittany Lions in 2012, where he was Big Ten Defensive Freshman of the Year. So, yeah, I am optimistic about what he can do with Zane Durant. You talked about four guys. Obviously, you're talking about Devon J. Thomas, and you mentioned Zane Durant, Keziah Izzard, and Hakeem Beamon. But what has been interesting to me, Jim, is we go back to reading the tea leaves of coaching availabilities to the media. You're hearing the name Alonzo Ford brought up a lot. In fact, James Franklin called him one of the pleasant surprises of camp. Now, I talked about what Penn State did in the transfer portal, not only this offseason, but last offseason. Alonzo Ford is a guy who came to Penn State via Old Dominion and was maybe looked like a guy who was going to need a developmental season before he'd play a lot, but it was expected to get on the field, and then he had an injury. And the scuttlebutt coming out of camp is that he has bounced back very, very well. He's taken to Chuck Losey's strength training program, and he has established himself as a fifth guy who can make an impact on the interior for Penn State's defensive line. So, yeah, again, if you're looking for areas of cautious optimism, five guys who you feel pretty good about being able to get on the field and make an impact in Big Ten play is pretty good.
Yes, it's very good. And I also, you know, you're talking transfers. There's been a couple of those guys who – James Franklin brings in a transfer, and a couple times it's the under the radar. I'm using Johnny Dixon is my poster child for this. when Johnny Dixon came in, everyone shrugged their shoulders, didn't see the need. And I'm talking about me, Chris, okay? That was my reaction to it. Johnny Dixon, fine, whatever. Depth piece, that's all. But it took more than 1 year before we saw that. So now he wasn't one of those flashy guys that came in, like Arnold Ibikiti, who came right in that first year, was on the field, Chop Robinson, and made a difference. Sometimes it takes more than 1 year to do it. When we come back, I just noticed our clock, Chris. When we come back, I want to talk more about transfer portal, and I'm going to go to the cornerback room where there's both the flashy guys, I think, and there's also the guy who came in a year ago and is now getting talked about the same way as Ford. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Make your party planning easy for any special event or tailgate with Campus Steaks Catering. We deliver to your office, home, or wherever you host your next party. Or be the talk of the tailgate with something new. Just stop by before the game at our 119 South Pew Street location and your order will be hot and ready. For the best cheesesteak in State College, it's Campus Steaks. Give us a call at 814-954-7447.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Chris, I'm Jim, and our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. That's the place with the great deals on the new Hondas. They also have a full inventory of Honda certified used cars. They also have some great low rates on the Honda Ridgeline truck, the Accord Hybrid. This is all at Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. You can check out their showroom on West College Avenue or online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. All right, Chris, I talked about it when we were wrapping up quarter number two. We've been talking about the defense, and you've mentioned Alonzo Ford. He's a second-year transfer portal guy. We talked transfer portal. We got to talk about cornerback, where this team lost three really good players a year ago going off to the NFL. So what'd they do? They plugged it in with a couple of Southeast Conference players with some real high end and a David Collins, a second year guy who's, I think, maybe is he this year's version of Johnny Dixon, the guy I shrugged my shoulders a year ago, and now they're talking about as being a real player.
Well, the hype out of camp is to be believed. The answer to that question is yes. I think one of the coaches, I can't remember which one it was now, referred to him as maybe the most improved player on the team. And he came in last season from Mississippi State. So all three transfer corners we're going to talk about are all SEC guys. And just like as an Eagles fan, I'm happy whenever Howie drafts players from the SEC. As a Penn State fan, I'm happy when we acquire via the transfer portal players from the SEC because I believe in their talent level. And you have to believe that they're coming from, you know, organizations where they know how to win. They know how to develop players. So, yeah, Adavian Collins, very fast kid, very intriguing. And, again, I know I've talked about it multiple times. I just absolutely loved the move to go out and bring in AJ Harris. I think he is corner number one for this team. I think he earns that because he deserves it with his talent and his play. Everything we saw from him in the blue-white game only reinforced that belief. Again, you talk about the room he comes from, the environment he spent his first year of college football, does not get better in the sport right now than what Kirby Smart is doing at Georgia. So I just like I think Julian Fleming brings a level of insight and professionalism from having been in Brian Hartline's receiver room at Ohio State. I expect the same thing from AJ Harris, albeit at a different level since he was only there for a year. But it's a good start to his college football career, and I'm excited about what he brings to the table. I think Jalen Kimber, the Florida transfer, is another kid they think very highly of and is going to make the trio of young Penn State homegrown corners in Cam Miller and Zion Tracy and Elliott Washington better by forcing them to compete and earn their roles on the field. And I'll just conclude by saying, and if you've been following me around the various media outlets I'm on, you've heard me say this a few times, don't judge the performance that young trio of corners turned in the Peach Bowl too harshly. That should not be the final word on who they are as players or what their ceiling is. They were put in a really tough position. And if you look at the entire game and you consider the circumstances in which they went from being spot duty guys during the regular season as underclassmen to being just thrown to the dogs, basically, like, yeah, did they get torched by one of the most potent passing offenses in the country with one of the most creative offensive schematic guys in the sport? Like, yeah, that happened. Like, no kidding. It would be foolish to assume that wasn't going to happen. I thought they also had their good moments, and with a full offseason and now a chance, again, not to be handed those jobs like they were pressed into service in the bowl game, but to either compete and earn them with the transfer portal guys or sit on the bench until they are absolutely ready to handle a greater workload, I think we're going to see a completely different view of the three Penn State young corners than we got in the bowl game. So don't look at that game and say, oh, we're completely screwed because Ole Miss just torched those guys, which at times, admittedly, they did in the bowl.
Well, I'm even going to go a step further, Chris. You talk about it from the Penn State player perspective, kind of thrown to the wolves, not a lot of experience, preparation for this. I'll also point out that Ole Miss, their quarterback was on fire, and so were the receivers. It felt like they would have been effective against almost any defense in the country. There were a lot of plays where the Penn State defenders were in position, and they still got burned because it was either an exceptional pass, an exceptional reception, or both. So I think
you saw really nice things from all three of those guys. And when you have an underclassman pressed into service, usually one of two things happens. They don't know what they don't know, which includes that they're not supposed to be as good as they play. And so you have a performance like Marcus Allen turned in when he had to start at safety against Ohio State as a freshman, a true freshman in 2014. And sometimes their eyes get wide as dinner plates and they get toasted, as happened to poor Cam Miller in the Peach Bowl.
Exactly. All right, Chris, enough with the defense. I want to go up a notch, up a little bit higher view of this coming season. Let me start with the schedule. Now, we've talked about it a bit. We've alluded to it a bit, but it is different than what we've seen for years. For years, it's been Michigan and Ohio State and Big 2, Little 10 is what the schedule looked like. And last year was probably the definition of that, the definitive example. And going into the year, we all said it, they'll have 10 wins and they'll lose these two games. This year, it's not, to use James Franklin's words, two elite teams. It's one elite team, but they also have several tricky games. Outside of Ohio State, who are you most concerned about on this schedule?
Probably in descending order, I put the road trip out to USC, number two. And then feeling like I do not have a great handle on exactly what Wisconsin is going to be this year. They're one of the more intriguing teams just in terms of they could improve dramatically. They could be as good as they were last season, which is not very, or they could be worse. And we're just not really sure what we're going to get there. So I guess I probably have to go with the road trip to West Virginia, just because I feel like I've got a better sense of who they are as a team. I know what to expect from them. And there's the fact that you're taking your team on the road into a hostile environment against the team that is not going to be a pushover to open the season. So then I would probably put the Wisconsin game after that. And then, you know, again, once you get after those four games, all of which are on the road, which ups the degree of difficulty, I've said before, if we want to talk at all seriously about this team as a playoff team, I really don't want to hear about any of the other opponents on the schedule. Don't come at me with UCLA or rebuilding Washington in the whiteout or road games at Minnesota or Purdue. I don't want to hear about any of those. They're all equally unimportant, because if you lose any of them, any of those games, you don't belong in a serious conversation about the playoffs, and you at least start getting into a serious conversation about what exactly are we doing here with this coaching situation. So it's those four games, and probably in order, I start with the road trip to USC, and then there's a pretty sizable gap. Then I go West Virginia and Wisconsin after that.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it makes for a little bit more interesting schedule if, like I said, a year ago you assume, hey, they're going to lose to Michigan, they're going to lose to Ohio State. That gives them, if you go into this season saying Ohio State's a loss, but there are still those three other games that, you know, 2-1, 1-2, 3-0 on those three games, Chris, I'm gonna let you make your team prediction here, because I want to save the fourth quarter to talk a little bit about things in the more national picture. So I'm gonna ask you, how do you think they will go in those three games and Ohio State and the rest of the season? This is your opportunity to give your season prediction.
Because I love you, Jim, I'm going to break with tradition, and that's that I normally give my official prediction on the first obligatory PSU pregame show of the year, which is going to go up on the For the Bloggy YouTube channel next week. But I'll answer your question, and I'll give the same answer that I gave for the pregame show. People can watch. I'll stay consistent, and that's that I think this year's team is going to be 9-3. I think we'll lose to Ohio State, of course, because we always lose to Ohio State. I think we will lose at USC because we've not won on the West Coast against the Trojans ever. And as I talked about on the last show, I do not take anything as an article of faith with this team anymore. You got to show me. You got to surprise me. And then I think one of those other road games, maybe Wisconsin, Penn State trips up somewhere away from Beaver Stadium. And why, you ask? Well, because when I look at a team that has major questions at receiver, significant questions at quarterback, is replacing three out of five starting offensive linemen, including both tackles and all three of its coordinators. And by the way, has a history of kind of underwhelming a little bit. I can't logically look at that and say, oh yeah, this is a team that's going 11-1. I dearly, dearly, dearly hope I'm wrong, because all of us, starting with our very well-compensated head coach, desperately needs for that trend to reverse and for us to see what James Franklin has not done yet as head coach at Penn State, and that's a regular season with one or fewer losses. And but Chris, I've got us 9-3.
And Chris, for our listeners, where should they direct their anger at you?
Oh, hey, you can find me on X. You'll find me at the post office or something. It happens all the time, and I'm happy to be yelled at people who don't like the things I say in my media outlets. I'm just glad you're reading or listening or watching.
Okay. And it's fascinating to me. I think we are still shell-shocked by some of those games from several years ago that you mentioned earlier, the Michigan State.
Those are data points.
Minnesota. Yes, and that makes me concerned about those games. Chris, we got one more quarter to go. We'll be right back for that right after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Make your party planning easy for any special event or tailgate with Campus Steaks Catering. We deliver to your office, home, or wherever you host your next party. Or be the talk of the tailgate with something new. Just stop by before the game at our 119 South Pew Street location and your order will be hot and ready. For the best cheesesteak in State College, it's Campus Steaks. Give us a call at 814-954-7447.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. Quarter number four, part two of our season preview with Chris Buchanani. Chris, between the two shows, we got through most everything. We talked about the offense. We talked about the defense. We finished up with your prediction for the season. And you went with 9-3. I understand. I get it. The problem I have, Chris, is it's hard for me to be logical, unbiased at this time of the year. One of our listeners, I wish I had the quote in front of me. He talked about August being that best time of the year. It's when you drink the blue Kool-Aid. It's when you believe. It's when we get all those reports about how well the new coordinators are doing, and there's guys who are surprising us, and I'm looking at it. This is a team that can go 11-1 for us, Chris. 11-1.
I have bought in on two James Franklin teams entirely in 2017 and 2023, and I've been wrong both times. As I said, I've been peddling snake oil. Now, maybe the third time's the charm, Jim. I certainly hope so. But after sticking my hand on the stove top twice, stupidly, I ain't doing it a third time.
All right. Let's expand out now from Penn State, starting with the Big Ten and what your thoughts are there. I think most folks have Ohio State and Oregon at the top of the Big Ten. But what I find fascinating about both those teams is they're both going to have a new quarterback, a transfer quarterback that are coming in. A year ago, Oregon showed that, hey, they can handle that with no problem. They brought in Bo Nix. It went really well, not to mention their buddies up in Washington brought in Michael Penix, and it went really well there. My question is, back to Big Ten, who do you have at the top of the heap?
Yeah, I wish I could be creative and offer a different answer, but I think the two most talented teams in the conference, probably head and shoulders most talented teams, are obvious, and that's Oregon and Ohio State. Now, I understand Michigan fans are definitely all up in their feelings about how they feel like they've been somewhat disrespected. But guys, I mean, come on. It's so obvious that the model Michigan won with, and I say this with a ton of respect, is that they maximized the output of upperclassmen who were recruited and developed to fit a specific system, a lot of which was dependent on whatever secret sauce came with Jim Harbaugh coaching them. And I understand that Sherrone Moore is from the Jim Harbaugh coaching tree and that he runs the same system and he coached under him and he understands how Jim wanted to do things. We heard that same logic with a litany of Bill Belichick assistants, including your buddy Bill O'Brien, who I know you love so much. And everybody knows how that worked out. So you lose Jim Harbaugh, you lose a ton of upperclassmen talent, and then you have all the controversies swirling around the program. You take all that. It's, to me, nuts. It's nuts to assume Michigan's not going to take a step back. Now, they could take a step back and still make the playoffs, but I view Oregon and Ohio State as the two best teams in the conference, with Penn State not that far behind, but far enough behind as you could notice.
Yeah, you got to look at it that Ohio State, Oregon. What's interesting is they get to play each other during the regular season, which, by the way, is no guarantee. You know, when you have 123 teams in the same conference and you have nine conference games, you're not going to play everybody.
October 12th is going to go a long way towards dictating not just the pecking order in the Big Ten, but the way the playoff looks at the end of the season, because in addition to some of the other big games in other conferences, I think you've got the Red River Shootout happening that day. You've got Penn State traveling to USC and Ohio State traveling to Oregon on the same day. That's a big one to circle on the calendar.
It really is. Huge games. And by the way, just as an aside, this to me is when you talk about all of the realignment, this is what makes it good in my mind, is we're getting games we would have never seen before. Yes, I know Ohio State had a home and home with Oregon just a couple years ago, but to have those two teams playing, have Penn State playing USC, and then there's so many of those kind of games. Anytime Texas or Oklahoma plays any of like 5, 6, 7 different Southeast Conference schools, it's going to make it really interesting and fun. But I'm with you, Ohio State, Oregon. Does the fact that then the first and second place teams, Chris, are going to play in the Big Ten championship game, does that diminish that Ohio State, Oregon regular season game at all?
Maybe a little, but I don't know. Did it diminish the Oregon-Washington game last season? I don't think so. I think those were both intriguing games. They were both very entertaining, and they both clearly had implications for the postseason. So, no, I don't think so too much. You know, look, we just established that I am not somebody who has a high degree of faith that Penn State is going to be in a conversation for the Big Ten championship game. But let's say I'm wrong. You know, my mouth to God's ears, I'm wrong. And Penn State does get that dub against USC out on the West Coast. And let's say Oregon does lose to the Buckeyes, as I think I'm not sure. I think they're 1 or 2 point dogs in that game, but don't quote me on that. Maybe they're not, because it's being played at Allison Stadium. Regardless, let's say Ohio State wins. I think Ohio State's the best team in the conference and potentially the country. It will be interesting to see what would happen if at the end of the season you had 2 11-1 teams, Penn State and Oregon, and both only have a loss to Ohio State. In that situation, you could see Oregon slightly ahead of Penn State in the rankings because they start out ranked higher, and Penn State in the, I think, enviable positioning of being able to just sit at home, rest during conference championship weekend, and have the prospect of hosting a playoff game once we get to the postseason tournament.
Oh, Chris, I've already said that. If that takes place where you, you know, are a one-loss team and you're competing, you're tied with someone else for that second entry into the conference championship game, you know what? Hey, you could take it. We'll sit here with our one loss and get the number 5 seed, which we've talked about, you know, is a very nice place to be in the pecking order of the playoffs. But that's going to be another question is, Chris, I don't think they've come out with a tiebreaker system yet for their conference playoff games.
Well, isn't it just the two highest ranked teams in the playoff committee rankings?
I'm assuming that's what it would be, but I didn't know if there would be other, like, let's say Oregon beats Ohio State, but they lose another game. Would they win a tiebreaker because they won the head-to-head game?
Again, I've been looking for an answer on this. I haven't found one. I'm sorry I don't have a definitive response, but my understanding and expectation is that that job is now outsourced to the playoff committee. So if they decide to rank Penn State one spot ahead of Oregon or vice versa, the two top-ranked teams in the playoff rankings go to the conference championship game.
I think ultimately, if all else is equal, I think that's what they will have to use as the tiebreaker. So they
can't imagine what kind of goofy tiebreaker system you could have with an 18-team conference and unbalanced schedules anyway. Look, I've always said the eccentricities of college football are features, not bugs. I like the idiosyncratic human error nature of it. So let the committee do it. I'm okay with it. I like human error being a feature of the sport. Yes, please live stream the committee meetings. I would love to see how the sausage gets made. I think we should get that. I don't think it should be opaque. But, yeah, I am not into, like, a complex system of tiebreakers, and I think doing it by coin flip is stupid. Just let a committee figure it out.
I think that is ultimately where that will end up. Okay, Chris, we've got a couple minutes left here. Just want to talk. We actually get to talk about actual games. Week zero next week. As you pointed out, it's not a full slate, but a couple interesting games. What game intrigues you?
Oh, by far, it's the Ireland game between Florida State and Georgia Tech. I love getting a conference game right out of the gate. And I think, you know, I think most people, because Florida State has been pretty good the last few seasons, they're expected to be good this year, are looking at that and thinking it's going to be a walk for the Seminoles. And I'm not so sure. I think this is going to be a tough game. Georgia Tech, for Georgia Tech, has recruited pretty well. And, you know, it's a well-coached team and a tough team. I think it's going to be a really physical game for Florida State, with a lot of questions to answer, starting with how does DJU fare in his return to the ACC?
And it's also Florida State has such a changeover on their team. That first game, traveling internationally, a lot going on. If you could catch them off guard, that's the time to do it.
And you look back at last season, Boston College had probably a better Florida State team on the ropes. They came within a hair's breadth of not having to worry about any of the, you know, Dermond Strang over whether or not they were a playoff team, because they almost lost to Boston College. So it's not inconceivable to me at all that we could have a really fun four-quarter game happening over on the other side of the Atlantic this Saturday.
The other element to it, Chris, is I think I know some people say, well, with a 12-team playoff, you could lose a game, still come back. It's the regular season isn't as relevant. But you and I discussed this a little bit. When you have conference versus conference, a top dog in the ACC losing to Georgia Tech, that has ramifications.
Yes. Through the first few weeks, there are games that are going to determine the reputation of conferences, which will factor into discussions about how do we, you know, quote unquote, break ties when we're selecting the playoff teams. And yeah, Florida State loses to Georgia Tech. Every other team in the ACC is going to let out a collective groan, because that is going to be a big black mark against the entire conference.
And yes, and I know we're another week away from it, but Penn State, Big 12, they're all going to be rooting for West Virginia. That's a real change in how people feel about things kind of game. And there's a few of those. Clemson, Georgia, another one. All right, Chris, that is it. Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership, with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Make your party planning easy for any special event or tailgate with Campus Steaks Catering. We deliver to your office, home, or wherever you host your next party. Or be the talk of the tailgate with something new. Just stop by before the game at our 119 South Pew Street location, and your order will be hot and ready. For the best cheesesteak in State College, it's Campus Steaks. Give us a call at 814-954-7447.